Tanzania is a unique country. One of the oldest places on Earth inhabited by humans. It is the country with the highest concentration of animals. A territory that is in itself a natural wonder of the world. The Serengeti National Park is the most famous nature reserve in Tanzania, where one of the most fascinating natural phenomena takes place every year, the Great Migration, which is the largest land migration on the planet. In May, when the dry season begins, more than a million wildebeests and thousands of zebras, antelopes, and gazelles head north to Kenya's Masai Mara Reserve in search of fresh grass and water. In July, they face the most dangerous stage. They have to cross the Mara and Grumeti rivers, which are infested with crocodiles. But that's not the only danger. When the herds of wildebeests reach the banks of the Mara River, they look for places to cross. The crossing may start off with a few daring wildebeests, and then, suddenly, the entire herd begins to cross. If the descent is steep, some individuals can break a leg and become easy prey for the crocodiles or lions. Zebras and wildebeests often cross together, with zebras having better sight and wildebeests better hearing. Meanwhile, dozens of sizable and weighty crocodiles await in the river. Most manage to cross, nervous and agitated. Others are caught by the crocodiles. The young are the easiest prey. It is their first time crossing the river, and they are not familiar with these predators. But the adults can also be hunted. The Nile crocodile has one of the strongest bites in the animal kingdom. Once the crocodile catches its prey, it holds it underwater and spins, a maneuver known as the death roll. Of all the wildebeests and zebras that manage to cross and survive, some are left exhausted, with broken limbs, or trapped in the mud. At some river crossings, thousands of wildebeests pile up in just a few minutes. In these situations, some may be trampled by their peers and drown, leaving dozens of victims. The last effort is to climb the other side of the river, which can also be difficult due to fatigue and steep slopes. After a few minutes, the wildebeests go back to grazing and resting, as if they had not just been close to losing their lives. Every year, about 30,000 zebras and 250,000 wildebeests die, preyed upon, drowned, sick, thirsty, or exhausted. But the risk of losing life does not end here. The Serengeti is home to the largest population of lions in Africa. These mammals are the only felines that live in groups with a hierarchical structure, consisting of dominant males, females, and their cubs. Lionesses are expert hunters. They work as a team to capture and take down larger prey. One of their most frequent victims is the wildebeest calf, which, isolated from the herd and facing several females, cannot escape. In general, it's easier for lions to hunt wildebeests than buffaloes. Buffaloes are more aggressive and larger, although lions usually attack the young and the most vulnerable. If a herd of buffalo separates, or if an individual strays from the group, lions can seize the opportunity to attack, having a greater chance of success if they work as a team and use coordinated tactics. hippopotami are very uncommon prey for lions due to their size, strength, and aggression. But they can sometimes be hunted when there are young, sick, injured, or isolated individuals, as they pose a lesser risk. However, even under these circumstances, hunting hippos remains very dangerous. It is only done when there is a shortage of easier prey. In the vast plains of the Serengeti also dwells the largest terrestrial animal, the African savanna elephant. Due to its enormous size, the number of individuals can be easily estimated. One of the largest populations in Africa lives in Tanzania. On safaris, elephants are seen traveling in female-led groups and can be aggressive if they feel threatened, especially the males. They develop strong family bonds throughout their lives, with the ability to communicate through low-frequency sounds and ground vibrations. Elephants are known for their intelligence and cognitive abilities. They are capable of remembering places and members of their herd, even after many years, leading to the popular saying, "An elephant never forgets." Furthermore, these animals have shown skills of empathy and mourning, demonstrating comforting behaviors toward other herd members who have suffered a loss. Giraffes, not as heavy, but taller, with their long neck and stylized limbs, are other animals that inhabit these savannas. Those in the Serengeti are members of the Maasai giraffe species, the tallest of all subspecies, characterized by their distinctive pattern of irregular leaf-shaped spots and jagged edges. They can grow to impressive heights, which allows them to reach the treetops to feed on leaves and sprouts that other herbivores can't reach. They are social animals that live in groups of 10 to 20 individuals, living between 15 and 20 years in the wild. Unlike elephants, they do not have such tight social bonds, except between mothers and their young. Giraffes are generally calm animals, but aggressive fights sometimes occur between males. They deliver blows with their necks, even being able to stab with their ossicones, which are the two protuberances they have on their heads. If an individual hits with force and precision, they can kill their opponent. These confrontations occur when males fight for territory that will provide mating opportunities. It has been noted that fights tend to occur between individuals of similar size. Larger males do not face smaller or younger ones. The giraffe's main predator is the lion, but they are also capable of defending themselves. A well-aimed blow from a giraffe can break a lion's spine, or even kill it. Despite this, sometimes lion prides can be observed that have managed to hunt a young one, usually during seasons when the big cats cannot find other prey. Much more populous than giraffes are the African buffaloes. Although they might not seem like it, they are considered one of the most dangerous animals in Africa. They usually lie in wait for a potential predator and attack at the last second. The older individuals who leave the herd can be the most aggressive. Buffaloes are herbivores that spend most of their time grazing, living in groups from several dozen to several thousand individuals. When under threat, they form a defensive circle, with the vulnerable calves in the center and the adults facing outwards, presenting a wall of horns to any potential predator. Among the large African mammals, the most threatened is the rhinoceros. The species found in the Serengeti is the black rhinoceros, characterized by its hook-shaped upper lip, which is adapted for feeding on bushes and trees. They are solitary creatures, armed with two horns that continually grow throughout their life. Their thick skin forms a natural armor that protects them. For these reasons, rhinoceri have no predators, except for humans, who hunt them for their horns, causing several rhino species to already be extinct, and the remaining ones critically endangered. An intriguing aspect of rhinoceros behavior is their surprisingly good memory. Despite their poor vision, they are known to recognize individual humans and other rhinoceri they have met in the past. Furthermore, rhinoceri rely on a sharp sense of smell and hearing to navigate their environment and communicate with each other through vocalizations and scent markings. Another prominent big cat of the Serengeti and Africa is the African leopard, a species currently under threat. These solitary felines are recognized by their striking golden yellow fur, decorated with rosette-shaped spots that assist them in blending into the savanna. The males are larger and heavier. They have strong, flexible bodies and are skilled climbers. Moreover, they can swim when necessary. Leopards are known to hoist prey heavier than their own body weight up trees and can leap remarkable distances, both horizontally and vertically. The cheetah, the world's fastest terrestrial animal, employs a distinct hunting technique. It is the fastest land animal, reaching high speeds when chasing its prey. They have slender bodies, long legs, and unique spot patterns that distinguish each individual. Unlike other big cats that sneak up on their prey and attack in a sudden and quick assault, cheetahs capture their prey with bursts of speed. Like a galloping horse, they lift all four paws off the ground as if flying. These sprints last about 20 to 30 seconds, after which the cheetah must rest to recover from the immense physical effort. Cheetahs are typically solitary predators, but young brothers can stay together after leaving their mothers, making it easier for them to defend their territory and mate with local females. Another Serengeti animal is the spotted hyena, a very social carnivore. With a matriarchal society, where females are larger than males and dominate them, forming groups of 6 to 100 individuals. They are the most common carnivore in Africa. They hunt, but can also scavenge. The larger the hyena group, the larger the prey they can hunt. Among them are buffaloes, zebras, wildebeest, and young rhinoceros. Smaller groups hunt impalas, warthogs, or gazelles. The hyena's worst enemy is the lion, who does not hunt them for food, but may kill them to eliminate competition. The animals named so far are some of Africa's best known, but there are many other curious and unique species living in the Serengeti. The shoebill stork is very difficult to observe in nature. Little is known about their habits because they inhabit inaccessible wetlands and are endangered. They are solitary birds. Pairs only come together during the breeding season, and they tend to remain motionless for hours. The ground pangolin, one of the four species of pangolins, has a small population due to humans hunting them for their scales. They live in the savanna or open forest and eat ants or termites that they catch with a long, sticky tongue. The bat-eared fox is characterized by its large, pointed ears, helping them detect their prey, such as insects and small mammals, even underground. They are essentially insectivorous, feeding largely on termites and beetles. The hippopotamus, a creature of substantial weight, can swiftly move at impressive speeds. They have a thick, grayish skin that secretes a pink liquid called blood sweat that helps keep them hydrated and protects their skin from the sun's ultraviolet rays. They are very social animals, capable of forming groups of up to 30 individuals, led by a dominant male. They are herbivores and seem calm, but as you'll see later on, the hippos in some parts of Tanzania are really dangerous. The ostrich, the world's largest bird, possesses powerful legs that enable it to cover extensive distances in search of sustenance and water, reaching remarkable speeds for short distances. The warthog, which has facial warts that act as protection during fights with other males, for dominance or access to females. Impalas, nimble antelopes with exceptional leaping abilities. Males display lyre-shaped horns of considerable length. The banded mongoose, famous for its ability to confront venomous snakes such as the cobra, using its rapid movements and reflexes to avoid being bitten. The secretary bird, a bird of prey that hunts its prey on foot, specializing in feeding on snakes, even venomous ones, amphibians, and insects. Unlike other birds of prey, the secretary bird uses its long, powerful legs to kill its prey, repeatedly striking it. The marabou stork. It feeds on dead animal remains, found in areas where predators have left their prey, sharing the feast with vultures and other scavenger species. Before continuing with the most astonishing places in Tanzania, I want to show you exactly where this country is. Tanzania is located in the eastern part of Africa, in the cradle of the human species, bordering Kenya and Uganda to the north, Rwanda, Burundi, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo to the west, Zambia, Malawi, and Mozambique to the south, and the Indian Ocean to the east. This region of Africa is known as the Great Lakes, named for some of the largest lakes on the planet, such as Lake Victoria and Lake Tanganyika, which I will tell you more about later. Now, on to the Ngorongoro crater, just a few hours from the Serengeti. This is the world's largest intact volcanic caldera, formed over 2 million years ago by the collapse of a massive volcano. Today, the crater floor serves as a natural habitat for an extraordinary variety of wildlife. Lions rest quietly, stalking potential prey. Just like the black rhinoceros, being a herbivore, it has a more vigilant attitude. But the more abundant are the buffaloes and zebras, also on the lookout for hyenas and lions. Within the boundaries of Ngorongoro lies the Olduvai Gorge, where fossils and tools dating back millions of years have been unearthed, shedding light on the origins of our species and the early stages of human evolution. In this conservation area also live the Maasai people, whose shepherds bring their goats and cows to Ngorongoro. But I will speak more about this tribe a little later. North of Ngorongoro, in the Great Rift Valley, is Lake Natron, a body of water with a surreal landscape. It is a shallow lake of salt and soda with a rusty red hue caused by the presence of microorganisms called Haloarchaea. They are microscopic extremophiles that thrive in the highly alkaline waters of the lake, reaching a pH level of up to 12, almost as abrasive as ammonia. This high alkalinity is due to volcanic ash and minerals that reach the lake from the surrounding hills and from the nearby Oldoinyo-Lengai volcano. In this seemingly inhospitable environment, life has found a way to flourish. The lake is inhabited by the lesser flamingo, Phoeniconius minor, one of the most striking and well-known inhabitants of East Africa. During the breeding season, over 2 million flamingos congregate on the shores of the lake, creating a dazzling display of pink. This species of flamingo is adapted to survive in the harsh conditions of Lake Natron, feeding on the abundant spirulina algae that also thrive in the alkaline waters. The pink coloring of the flamingos is, in fact, the result of the pigments found in the algae they consume. Despite the hostile conditions, other wildlife also live in Lake Natron, including species of fish, such as the alkaline tilapia, which has evolved to resist the extreme pH levels, and various wetland birds that frequent the swampy edges of the lake. For some animals, Lake Natron is a deadly trap. The surface resembles a mirror. Animals get confused and dive into its waters in search of food, drowning, and naturally becoming mummified. Southeast of Lake Natron lies Kilimanjaro National Park, home to Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest peak in Africa, and the tallest freestanding mountain in the world. Mount Kilimanjaro is an inactive stratovolcano composed of three distinct volcanic cones, Kibo, Mawenzi, and Shira. Kibo's Uhuru Peak is the highest point of the mountain. Mawenzi's rugged peaks and cliffs rise mightily. Despite being eroded, Shira Plateau's grandeur remains evident. Near the summit at Uhuru Peak are glaciers like Furtwängler, Rebmann, and Deccan, a rare sight in the African landscape. In the distance, we can appreciate the silhouette of Mount Meru, the country's second highest mountain, considered the younger sister of Kilimanjaro. At lower heights, a belt of rainforest surrounds the base of the mountain, providing a vital link between the low savannas and Kilimanjaro's alpine zones. This dense tropical forest is nourished by abundant rainfall and moisture generated by the mountain's unique climate and topography. It is home to various plant species, including giant ferns, wild bananas, and the striking African violet, adding splashes of color to the vibrant green landscape. In the subalpine region, above the jungle, mountain shrubs are located. It is here that the peculiar Dendrocoenicia kilimanjari resides, a giant herb adapted to cold temperatures. This plant species is found exclusively on Kilimanjaro, particularly around the Shira Plateau. It clings to life on the volcanic slopes, its roots plunging deep into the rocky soil in search of water and nutrients. The sturdy stems rise toward the sky, as if they were trying to get a little closer to the sun. All the Tanzanian places I've shown you so far are located in the Great Rift Valley, a massive system of geological faults across East Africa, from the Gulf of Aden in the north to Mozambique in the south. This geological system formed 25 million years ago due to the separation of the African and Arabian tectonic plates, creating a series of faults and fractures in the land where a very diverse topography has developed with mountains, valleys, lakes, and volcanoes. South of Kilimanjaro, in the east-central part of Tanzania, is Mikumi National Park, which is not as well known to foreigners, but is more visited by Tanzanians, as it is near Dodoma, the capital of Tanzania, and the cities of Morogoro and Dar es Salaam. One of the most distinctive features of this reserve is the Umkata floodplain, a grassland that attracts large concentrations of animals, especially during the dry season. In Mkumi, a subspecies of giraffe is found that is considered a link between the reticulated or Somali giraffe, native to the Horn of Africa, and the Maasai giraffe, which inhabits the Serengeti. South of Mikumi Park is Nyerere National Park, the largest reserve in the country, and one of the largest on the African continent. Lions, rhinoceri, leopards, elephants, African buffalo, hippos, crocodiles, giraffes, zebras, wildebeest, and various species of antelope live here. It also has one of the largest populations of the African wild dog, or Lycaon. The Lycaon holds the title of being the largest wild canine in Africa, distinguishing itself from domestic dogs by its highly carnivorous diet and the absence of dew claws. The figure of authority in the pack is the alpha female, and upon her death, the other Lycaons disperse to establish new groups. The Rufiji, which runs through Nyerere Park, is the largest river in Tanzania, forming a network of channels, lakes, and swamps. Elephants, hippos, crocodiles, and various water birds depend on this river to survive, making it a central axis of biodiversity in the region. You have already met several of the animals that live in Tanzania, but one of the most outstanding and curious ones is still to come, the chimpanzee. The chimpanzee, which inhabits Mahale Mountains National Park and Gombe Stream National Park, both in western Tanzania, on the shores of Lake Tanganyika. We will focus on Gombe Stream, the most attractive one. As in the 60s, the famous primatologist Jane Goodall conducted her research on chimpanzees and their behavior there. This primate species is the closest genetically to humans, sharing between 98 and 99% of DNA. Because of this, chimpanzees display a number of fascinating behaviors, but also some disturbing ones. In her research, Goodall observed that each chimpanzee had unique personalities, so she decided to give each one a name, which was unusual at her time. She also noticed that chimpanzees exhibited behaviors such as kissing or hugging, and that they develop emotional bonds, showing affection, empathy, and altruism. On the other hand, she realized that chimpanzees are not vegetarians, and that they are capable of using tools in their search for food. They hunt and eat meat, including smaller mammals like colobus monkeys. She observed them cooperating during hunts, demonstrating advanced group coordination. In addition, she discovered that chimpanzees have cultural practices that vary between different communities. For example, she noticed variations in tool use, grooming behaviors, and social customs among different chimpanzee populations. Another finding was the social structure, with an alpha male dominating the hierarchy, while the females take care of the offspring. Furthermore, Goodall demonstrated that chimpanzees have a complex system of vocalizations, gestures, and body language to communicate with each other. She identified more than 20 different vocalizations used for various purposes, including warning calls, food calls, and expressions of tranquility or submission. But Goodall also got to witness the cruel and aggressive side of chimpanzees. She documented the Gombe Chimpanzee War, which took place between 1974 and 1978, in which a group of chimpanzees split into two, with all the males in one group being killed. In this war, premeditated murders, military-type strategies, kidnappings, slavery, and a genocide-like attitude were observed. For Jane, this was a shock to the reality of nature. At first, she thought that chimpanzees were much kinder than humans. But after these wars, murders, and even cannibalism, she observed their dark side and commented that it took her several years to reconcile with her findings. When Goodall reported these discoveries about the chimpanzee war, researchers of the time were skeptical, accusing her of anthropomorphizing them. But over time, it has been accepted that these conflicts are natural within the species. Another primate that lives in Tanzania and much of Western, Eastern, and Central Africa is the olive baboon, or Anubis baboon. This is a highly adaptable species that can thrive in various habitats, including savannas, grasslands, forests, and human settlements. They live in complex hierarchical social groups called troops, which consist of multiple adult males, females, and their offspring, and can vary in size from a few dozen to over 100 individuals, with dominant males maintaining their status through displays of aggression and submission. They communicate with a combination of vocalizations, body language, and facial expressions, while grooming is an essential aspect of social bonding, helping to establish and reinforce social relationships. The Anubis baboon has a large population in Lake Manyara National Park, very close to the Ngorongoro Reserve. The most curious thing about this park are the tree-climbing lions. Although lions do not rest in the branches of large trees, like leopards do, the lions in this park are a notable exception. You can see adult lions and lionesses, as well as young individuals, resting in acacia trees, especially during the hottest hours of the day, either sleeping or observing the surroundings. This behavior is believed to be learned. At a time when there was a plague of mosquitoes and flies, the lions climbed trees to get rid of them. The cubs observed or followed their parents, and thus the custom passed from generation to generation, as if it were a culture of lions. Lake Manyara, which lends its name to the park, is an alkaline ecosystem that attracts thousands of flamingos, elephants, zebras, and hippos that come to drink and bathe. Although the water in the lake is salty, it is safe for animals to drink. Also found in Tanzania is the black and white colobus monkey, an arboreal primate with striking black and white fur, which allows them to camouflage in the forest canopy. They primarily eat leaves, but also fruits, flowers, and occasionally insects. Their diet varies depending on the availability of food sources in their habitat, and they usually live in groups of 5 to 15 individuals, composed of an adult male, several females, and their offspring. One of the Tanzanian locations where you can observe the black and white colobus is Arusha National Park in northeastern Tanzania, near the city of Arusha. Here you will find Mount Meru and the Ungerdoto Crater, an extinct volcanic crater covered in marshland. A distinct primate species with more vibrant colors is the Zanzibar red colobus, which inhabits only Unguja Island in the Zanzibar archipelago, off the coast of Tanzania. This is a unique and endangered species due to hunting and human encroachment into the forests, with only between 1,600 and 3,000 individuals remaining. As these animals are tolerant of human presence, visitors to the island can relatively easily observe them. Equally astonishing is the African bullfrog, Pyxicephalus adspersus, which can be found in Tanzania's dry savannas. Ranking among the 10 largest frog species, this carnivore consumes insects, small rodents or reptiles, fish, small birds, and other amphibians. But Tanzania is not all savannas and forests. It also has islands, notably those of the Zanzibar archipelago in the Indian Ocean. This is a place with African, Arabic, Indian, and European influences. Unguja, the largest and most populous island of Zanzibar, has Zanzibar City as its capital. On this island, there are large, beautiful sandy beaches and coral reefs. Here, water sports such as kite surfing, snorkeling, and scuba diving are popular. People in Unguja typically engage in tourism, agriculture, and fishing. It is an island famous for its spices, particularly cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, and black pepper, which has earned it the nickname Spice Island. Traditional sailing in Zanzibar is done in dhows, traditional wooden sailboats that have been used in the Indian Ocean for centuries for fishing and transport, and now also for tourism. To the north of Unguja is Zanzibar's second largest island, Pemba, which is more mountainous than Unguja, with some of the most fertile lands in the region. It is known as the Green Island due to its lush vegetation and spice plantations. It also has coral reefs and crystal clear waters, being more secluded and less developed than Unguja. In Pemba, in the Ungezi Forest Reserve, the Pemba flying fox, one of the largest species of fruit-eating bats, is found. To the south of Zanzibar is Mafia Island, also known as the home of the whale shark, a much less visited place with a more relaxed atmosphere. Here is Tanzania's first marine park, protecting mangrove forests and coral reefs. Mafia Island is the only place in Tanzania where you can see the whale shark, which is due to the area having plentiful food. This is the world's largest fish, inhabiting only warm tropical and subtropical waters. The population of whale sharks inhabiting the area around Pemba do not completely migrate out of their waters. They have tiny teeth and can't chew, so their diet is based on plankton, algae, krill, and fish such as sardines, anchovies, or mackerel. Part of Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya also have the third largest lake in the world, and the largest in Africa, Lake Victoria. In Tanzania, it is located in the northwest region and is an economically important place, as Nile perch, Nile tilapia, and the Cyprinid rostraniobola argentea, which are the most commercially fished species, inhabit it. Lake Victoria is also essential for transportation and trade between Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya. Small boats and cargo ferries cross its waters, carrying passengers and goods. Besides, this lake is a vital source of fresh water for domestic, agricultural, and industrial use. Another animal that lives in Lake Victoria is the hippopotamus, one of the deadliest animals, attacking if what they consider their territory is invaded. The most common attacks occur against boats, as humans can't see them when they are diving. They overturn the boats and drown their occupants, bite them with their tusks, or crush them. The Nile crocodile also inhabits Lake Victoria. In this case, the attack usually occurs when people go to the shores of the lake to fill buckets of water, although they can also attack fishing boats. The smaller the boat, the greater the risk. Another large lake located in Tanzania is Lake Tanganyika, which occupies much of the western border with the Democratic Republic of the Congo. It is the second deepest lake in the world, after Baikal, and the longest. Fishing is also the main economic activity of Tanganyika, with the capture of the Tanganyika sardine, known as daga or kapenta. Fishermen go out in their boats to fish in calm waters. While on land, women and children take care of domestic chores and water collection. Far from Lake Tanganyika to the north of Tanzania and east of Lake Victoria, the Maasai tribe lives, a people of cow, sheep, and goat herders. Maasai means people who speak the Ma, which is their native language. Traditionally, this ethnic group has been nomadic. But, over time, more and more Maasai have become farmers. They are recognized for their colorful red fabric clothing called shuka, accompanied by jewelry and their tall stature. Their lifestyle revolves around herding herds of cows and goats, which are their main source of income. They exchange them for money or other products. For the Maasai, cows are a symbol of wealth and status. The more cows a man has, the wealthier he is. Just as with children, the more children, the better. And if a man has many cows but no children, or vice versa, he is considered poor. Traditional Maasai live in settlements called enkangs, in huts known as bomas, made from branches, straw, and cow dung. The villages are surrounded by fences of logs and branches for protection against wild animals and to keep livestock. In Maasai society, men are responsible for protecting the community and their livestock from predators and rival tribes. The transition from childhood to warrior status, known as the Moran stage, is marked through a series of rituals and ceremonies that signal their coming of age. Years ago, they would kill lions as an initiation rite to demonstrate their bravery and combat skills. Hunting them was a symbol of honor and an achievement that granted prestige and recognition. But today, laws forbid this practice, and it is only done as punishment for the predation of cows and goats. Maasai women are responsible for maintaining the home, raising the children, and tasks like collecting firewood and water. The Maasai diet consists of butter, antelope, and goat meat, cow's milk, and animal blood, including that of oxen. They use spears and bows for hunting and usually carry a stick that they use to scare away animals or to lean on. Marriages are generally arranged by older Maasai when the women are still very young. These women are often much younger than their husbands, who may have multiple wives. Because Maasai men spend much of their lives trying to increase their cattle herds, they marry several wives to care for the cattle and their homes. It is believed that for a man to be happy, he must have several wives. Even they may prefer it that way. It is considered to be love among several people, and not just between two. The first wife plays the most important role. Subsequent wives are co-wives, sharing a bond with each other, as if they were sisters. The man is expected to care for both and their needs, and if not, the wife can return to her parents' home. However, among the new generation of men who may have access to the internet and learn about new cultures and beliefs, it is becoming more common to think that it is not necessary to marry several women to be happy. This volcano is Oldoinyo Lengai, the Mountain of God for the Maasai, located in the Ngorongoro Reserve. It is the only active natrocarbonatite volcano on Earth, with its lava much hotter than typical lava. For the Maasai, it is a sacred place, dwelling of the god Engai, who retreated here after being struck by a hunter's arrow. Near the Maasai lives another prominent ethnic group, the Hadza tribe, found only in Tanzania in the Arusha region, bordering the Serengeti Plains. Until 1950, the Hadza were hunter-gatherers with a nomadic lifestyle. But over time, the lands on which they survived were taken over for agriculture. Today, only a small number of them continue this nomadic lifestyle, and many live in conditions of poverty. These Hadza, who continue to live traditionally, are one of the last true hunter-gatherer societies remaining on Earth, which allows us to glimpse how our ancestors lived for thousands of years. In fact, the Hadza have one of the oldest genetic lineages in humanity. The Hadza people speak Hadzani, which is not related to any other known language. This further distinguishes them as a unique cultural group, isolated from neighboring tribes such as the Maasai and the Datoga. The Hadza are groups of 20 to 40 people who maintain close social relationships, value equality within their groups, without recognizing official leaders. Women have autonomy and also contribute by gathering food. When relational problems arise, Hadza camps separate to dissipate tension and then reunite. They feed on bee honey that they find in acacia or baobab trees, baobab fruits, berries, tubers, and large and small game animals. Until about 30 years ago, they hunted buffaloes, giraffes, or zebras, but the populations of these animals have been decreasing, and today they hunt a small antelope called dik-dik, boars, impalas, monkeys, and sometimes the kudu. Being accustomed to living freely in small nomadic camps, some Hadza do not want to live in neighboring villages, rejecting the noise and crowds. They make round-shaped huts from tree branches covered with grass and have few personal possessions, including bows, arrows, and pipes. If they have more things than they need to live, it is expected that they share with other members of the group. Another particular group of people in Tanzania are Tanzanians with albinism, a rare genetic disorder characterized by a lack or total absence of melanin. Albinos have very light skin, hair, and eye color, which makes them stand out a lot amongst the rest of the Africans. Tanzania has one of the highest rates of albinism in the world, with an estimated 1 in 1,400 people. Their lack of melanin makes them more susceptible to sunburn and skin cancer due to the intense African sun. In addition, many have vision problems, as a lack of pigmentation in the eyes can cause problems with light sensitivity. Beyond these physical challenges, albinos face significant social and cultural difficulties. They are subject to discrimination, stigmatization, and exclusion from society. In some cases, they are even believed to possess magical powers or bring bad luck, leading to further marginalization. But the most serious danger to albinos is the threat of violence, driven by superstition and an illegal market for parts of their bodies. Witch doctors and traditional healers may use parts of albinos' bodies in rituals or potions, claiming that they bring good fortune and wealth. Tanzanian culture is highly diverse, the result of a mix of over 120 different ethnic groups inhabiting the country. Each ethnic group has its own customs, traditions, and languages. Of the 125 ethnic groups in Tanzania's population, the most numerous are the Sukuma, Nyamwezi, Chaga, and Haya. The Sukuma, the most numerous, mainly inhabit the northwest region of the country, especially in the areas around Lake Victoria. They are predominantly farmers and herders, with a rich culture of music and dance. The Nyamwezi, the second most numerous, also known as the Men of the Moon, were traditionally elephant hunters, and currently engage in farming and livestock. The Chaga, the third most numerous, live on the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro. They are known for their irrigation system and their advanced agricultural techniques, their coffee and bananas. The Haya are found in the Kagera region, in the northwest near Lake Victoria. They are known for their skill in blacksmithing, pottery, and carpentry. Their main activity is agriculture, centered on the cultivation of coffee and bananas. Also present are the Maasai, the Hadza, and the Ngoni. The latter is a Bantu ethnic group that lives in parts of Tanzania, as well as in Malawi, Zambia, and Mozambique. Known for their skill in warfare, their prowess in fighting, their music, and dance, the king is the central figure in Ngoni society, considered the supreme leader of his people. Life in Tanzania centers around family and community. Respect for elders is an essential part of daily life. Hospitality is another important feature of Tanzanian culture. Visitors are often surprised by the warmth and friendliness of the local people. The main languages of Tanzania are Swahili and English, although many other local languages are spoken. Swahili in particular is a unifying symbol for the country, widely used in education, politics, and media. The most practiced religion is Christianity, followed by Islam, with Muslim communities concentrated in the eastern coastal areas. Music and dance play a fundamental role in cultural life, with a variety of styles and genres reflecting the various influences that have shaped the country over time. Taarab music, for example, is a mix of Arab, Indian, and African melodies, originated on the island of Zanzibar. On the other hand, Bongo Flava is a modern urban music style that combines elements of hip-hop, reggae, and traditional Tanzanian music. Visual arts also play an important part in Tanzanian culture, with intricate wood carvings from the Makonde tribe, the colorful Tinga Tinga, and the traditional Kanga used in making clothes and home decoration. As for Tanzanian cuisine, it is as diverse as its culture. One of the staple foods of the local diet is the chapati, a wheat flour cake that is served with milk, tea, or meats and vegetables. Ugali is a corn and cassava porridge, considered the national dish of Tanzania and generally of East Africa. It is usually accompanied by vegetables, meats, or fish. Nyama choma is grilled meat, usually goat. Chipsi mayai is a potato and egg omelet, one of the most popular meals. Although Dodoma is the political capital of the country, Dar es Salaam is the most populous city and the center of Tanzania's economic, cultural, and social life. It is located on the shores of the Indian Ocean and was founded in 1862 by the Sultan of Zanzibar, Sayyid Majid, growing steadily and becoming a melting pot of cultures and traditions. Dar es Salaam, meaning home of peace, has a population of people of Arab, African, Indian, and European ancestry, a cultural mix that is evident in its architecture, cuisine, and ways of life. It is a city of contrasts, where modern skyscrapers and luxurious hotels coexist with bustling markets, busy bazaars, and lively streets. Travelers can enjoy historical architecture in areas like the Kariakoo district, or explore the Kivukoni Fish Market, where local fishermen sell their catch of the day. The Indian Ocean beaches of Dar es Salaam are a popular place to relax and soak up the sun, while parks and green spaces, such as the Botanical Garden, offer a respite from the hustle and bustle of city life. The history of Tanzania is a fascinating blend of cultures, traditions, and events that have shaped the country as we know it today. Let's start in prehistory, at the famous archaeological site of the Olduvai Gorge. This place is known as the Cradle of Mankind, and it has provided some of the oldest evidence of the existence of hominids, the ancestors of modern humans. Here, in 1959, Mary and Louis Leakey discovered the skull of a hominid known as Zinge, or Nutcracker Man, which is over 1.75 million years old. Homo habilis, the first human species, occupied this area approximately 1.9 million years ago. We move forward in time to the first millennium AD, when the Bantu people began arriving in the Tanzania region from West and Central Africa. These groups brought with them new agricultural and livestock techniques, which allowed the development of larger and more stable communities. During the 8th century, Arab traders and explorers arrived on the Tanzanian coast, where they established trading posts and mixed with the local populations. The trade of ivory, gold, and slaves was a major economic driver in the region and led to the formation of city-states such as Kilwa and Zanzibar. In the 15th century, the Portuguese began to explore the East African coast, and in 1505, they took control of Zanzibar and other coastal city-states. However, their reign was brief, as by 1699, the Omanis expelled them and established their own control. The 19th century saw the arrival of European explorers and missionaries, such as David Livingstone and Henry Morton Stanley. European interest in Africa triggered the Berlin Conference in 1884, where European powers divided Africa among themselves. In 1886, Germany and Britain reached an agreement to divide their interests in East Africa, and the territory that is now Tanzania became part of German East Africa. After World War I, in 1919, the territory was transferred to Britain as a mandate of the League of Nations and was renamed Tanganyika. During the British colonial period, infrastructure was built and an educational system was established. The movement towards independence in Africa began to grow in the 1950s. And in 1961, Tanganyika became an independent state under the leadership of Julius Nyerere, who adopted an approach called Ujamaa, seeking to build an egalitarian and self-sufficient society. In 1964, Tanganyika united with the island of Zanzibar to form the United Republic of Tanzania, with Julius Nyerere as its first president. The new nation faced numerous challenges, including building a unified national identity and implementing effective economic and social policies. Despite his efforts, Nyerere's Ujamaa approach did not have the expected success, and by the 1980s, Tanzania was facing a severe economic crisis. In 1985, Nyerere voluntarily stepped down from the presidency and was succeeded by Ali Hassan Mwinyi, who began to implement economic and political reforms to liberalize the economy and allow private sector participation. In 1995, Tanzania held its first multi-party elections. Throughout the following years, it continued to have steady economic growth, largely driven by investment in infrastructure, the expansion of the tourism industry, and the development of the agricultural and mining sectors. Today, Tanzania continues to face challenges in areas such as education, healthcare, and combating corruption. However, the country has shown a remarkable ability to overcome adversities and address issues throughout its history. To understand what Tanzania and life in the country are like, it is also necessary to talk about its laws. Polygamy is legal, but the consent of the first wife is necessary before a man can marry another woman. It is more common in rural communities and in certain ethnic and religious groups, such as the Maasai. The death penalty remains legal, although no executions have been carried out since 1994. Crimes that can result in the death penalty include murder, treason, and certain offenses related to illicit substances. Homosexuality is illegal. Sexual relations between people of the same sex can be punished with prison sentences ranging from 30 years to life. One distressing issue is that of witchcraft, which, in some Tanzanian communities, is seen as a malevolent force that causes misfortune, illness, and death. This results in witch hunts, which still exist today in Tanzania and other African countries. It starts with an accusation, triggered by an unexplainable event or personal misfortune, such as the death of a family member, a bad harvest, or the loss of livestock. The affected parties then turn to traditional healers or sorcerers, who can accuse someone of being a witch, triggering ostracism, property destruction, or physical assaults. The Tanzanian government has enacted laws to protect those accused of witchcraft and to prosecute those who commit acts of violence. But these legal measures have been challenging to enforce, particularly in rural areas where belief in witchcraft is deeply ingrained. On wildlife, the Tanzanian government has implemented strict laws to protect various species and combat poaching and the trafficking of live animals. Offenders can face prison sentences, fines, or property confiscation. However, the so-called trophy hunting, which is the hunting of large animals such as lions, elephants, buffaloes, wildebeests, or zebras, is legal if a special permit is obtained from sites and the government. This type of hunting in Tanzania is restricted to male specimens that have reached a certain age, including lions, elephants, leopards, buffaloes, zebras, among other animals. The vast majority of people are against this practice, considering it to be cruel and unnecessary. But its defenders argue that it may be necessary to control the population of certain species to maintain an ecological balance. According to them, in areas where natural predators are scarce, hunting could help control herbivore populations and prevent overpopulation and habitat degradation. They also argue that trophy hunting can generate income for local communities and the government, which can improve living standards and support economic development, also deterring poaching. Traveling to Tanzania can be an unforgettable experience, but if you're going to do it, it's important that you're well prepared and take into account certain tips to make the most of your trip. The best time to visit Tanzania varies depending on your interests. The dry season is from June to October and is recommended for safaris and animal sightings, while the rainy season, which is from November to May, is better for seeing green landscapes and observing migratory birds. If you plan to climb Kilimanjaro, avoid the rainy season. Tanzanians are friendly and hospitable, but it's important to respect their customs and traditions. Dress modestly and avoid public displays of affection, especially in rural areas and on the coast, where the population is predominantly Muslim. Learning a few words in Swahili is important and will endear you to Tanzanians. Hello is jambo, thank you is asante, and how are you is uhali gani. Vaccinations for diseases like hepatitis A and typhoid fever are very important. The animal that causes the most human deaths in Tanzania and much of Africa is the mosquito, which is the main transmitter of malaria, a potentially deadly parasitic disease. Some measures to prevent this disease include using mosquito repellents that contain at least 30% DEET, setting up mosquito nets around beds, wearing long-sleeved clothing and long pants, especially at dusk and dawn, and taking anti-malarial drugs before, during, and after the trip. Dengue fever, sleeping sickness, and chikungunya also exist in Tanzania, so it is especially important to protect yourself from mosquitoes. Tanzania is a relatively safe country, but it's always important to take precautions. Keep your valuables secure and avoid walking alone at night in unfamiliar areas. Follow the instructions of guides during safaris and respect the rules of national parks to ensure your safety. In cities like Dar es Salaam, it's important to be cautious. Don't accept offers from unlicensed taxis. Don't walk alone at night, in isolated places, or on beaches. Don't carry valuable items or large amounts of cash. In general, listen to your guide and follow their directions, as they will know the local risks. Regarding driving, I wouldn't recommend it if you don't have experience traveling to African countries. But if you're going to do it, be very careful, as the roads are not the same as those in more developed countries. Regarding safaris, which in Swahili means journey, they are generally safe, especially if you go on an organized trip with an experienced company. Although it is also important to be aware of certain guidelines. The attire is essential, Wear khaki, brown, or green clothing that blends with the environment. High, closed boots and tall socks. Long-sleeve shirts or t-shirts. And long pants to protect yourself from mosquitoes or possible snake bites. It is also advisable to wear a hat to protect yourself from the sun and avoid wearing perfume that may scare away animals. Keep in mind that safaris usually start very early, and it might be cold, so a good option is to wear several layers of clothing that you can change throughout the day. Do not step outside the vehicle. You cannot know if an animal will suddenly appear, although there will be some areas where the guide will tell you it's safe to walk or get out. Regarding walking safaris, which are better for getting closer to animals, don't walk without a guide, don't speak loudly, and don't run, because you could be mistaken for prey. In rivers and lakes, avoid going into the water, unless you're absolutely sure there are no hippos or crocodiles. Animals are accustomed to vehicles and people inside them, but don't stick anything out the window, like a camera or a selfie stick, because it might attract attention. In case there are windows, keep in mind that baboons might try to get in or grab things. If you go with guides, who can be one, two, or more, they usually have experience and act calmly, knowing what to do. If it's a self-driving safari, go slow and pay attention to any animals that might be on the roads, especially during the rainy season, when the grass is tall. It's valuable to know about elephants that sometimes stand in the way. If this happens, the general indication is to turn off the engine, as the animal might interpret the noise or movement towards it as a challenge. If an elephant lifts a leg, don't panic. These animals have nerve endings in their legs that allow them to sense vibrations, so it's likely not doing it to crush the vehicle. Elephants often bluff a charge, but then retreat. Being accustomed to the presence of vehicles and humans, they can recognize particular guides who frequently go on safaris. The biggest warning sign to know if an elephant is dangerous is its level of irritation. If an elephant's ear is moving, it's likely calm, but if it flares out wide, it's angry and might attack. When the elephant places its ears backward, tusks upward, and trunk curled, it is even more dangerous. In these cases, there isn't a specific indication to follow because elephants are unpredictable in this state. And with these instructions, you've learned a great deal about Tanzania and are prepared to travel to this extraordinary country.